Well, let's pray, shall we? Pete and I are tag teaming. So, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for what you're already doing in the room. And we just pray that will continue more and more throughout our meeting together. And even as we go home, that you will continue to speak to us, to minister to our hearts, to help us to walk out of any limitations. We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So last week we've been talking about cultures and how let's say what the world says a culture is the ideas, customs and social behaviour of particular people or society. And as we know in society now, anything goes, you can be anything, almost do anything, and that's acceptable. Well, the kingdom is so very different. But we were talking about how you can't first create a culture around us without that culture being inside of us. Because we will carry the culture of whatever's going on inside of us. And whatever, another thing we learned on the hosting was, whatever overshadows us will overshadow other people. So, and you probably experienced that if you've ever been doing perfectly well and you meet someone who's perhaps really fearful, and you can feel that shadow of fear coming over you. So what overshadows us, whatever's going on inside of us, we need that. We need the Holy Spirit to create that. And he starts to do that as soon as we're born again. Because culture is something that things can grow in. We want things to grow here. We want things, the more of God, to come here. So it's really important that what we believe about God and what we believe about ourselves is what he is saying, not what the world is telling us. That's the sort of starting point, really. This is just a quick catch-up, and Pete's coming. So last week, I had a quick look at family culture, healthy family. What does healthy family look like? Because we want to create a supernatural, healthy family here. And these were just some of the points. These are not exhaustive. These things aren't exhaustive at all. But these were just the first ones that I pulled out. A family is a place to be safe, to be who God has created us to be, even when we're in process of that. It's a place where we can be called into greatness, where we see the greatness in one another, and I think Pete's going to talk about that in a minute, and pull that out of one another. It's a place to receive grace, to do and be all that God has for us. Forgiveness is our standard. That's Ephesians 4:32. It's a place to be valued and give preference to one another, to honour one another. A place where we serve one another, we bring our part into the body here. Everyone has a part, everyone has a grace on their life for something which comes into the, you can bring into the body, into the church. That's 1 Peter 4:10. Love is our priority. And that was 1 Corinthians 13. I recommend reading that in the Passion because it just gives you another view on love. It's quite. And when I was doing this, I really felt that actually family is a very high call. Paul talks about family as in church, but we take that as family. It's a very high call, and it's not an easy thing. And we all know that by our own families. It's not an easy thing, but it's a high call. And kingdom family transcends political party, world views and humanistic views. It transcends all those different things and cultures that we might have been in ourselves. Building kingdom family is a higher call than any of that. So it's not which party you agree with or which football team you support. I think I've told you the story of our two little boys. It's much, much higher than that. So we don't gather because we agree on a political party. We gather because we love Jesus. So those were the things. And also I said, you know, read the word with family in mind. What was that going to look like? What's that going to look like in your own family? What's that going to look like here? What can you bring to this family? What grace is on your life? And just to finish, Pete and I both feel these things should be measurable because we're inviting the Holy Spirit to do this in us. So there should be a measurable sign that, yeah, we are moving in that direction. We are moving. We're bringing what we've got into the body. We're forgiving. We're loving. We're not all there, are we? When you read 1 Corinthians 13, you're like, not quite there yet. But that's what God's doing in us. It's God's love in us that brings all those things, does all those things. So it's being open to what he's doing. So is that all right? Okay, let's welcome my husband.
Right. I'm going to use this because this is going to keep me on track. Because I've been accused in the past of being a bit of a grasshopper mind. And I think that's true. I think I was naturally brought up, well, that's my sort of DNA, I think. But working in a bank for nearly 25 years has probably really structured me. But I think since that time, I've come out of that structure and I feel a lot freer. Anyway, let me just get this. So hopefully this will keep me on track. This is the key verse for this morning. So apologies for the Americanisms, where there's some spelling mistakes, but 1 Peter 2:17 says this, recognize the value of every person, not just some people, not just Christians, recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. Now that is a jam-packed scripture that is there. This is the manual for life. So that is an instruction. And it's not terribly easy, I would say. Especially when you see what's going on with our, in inverted commas, rulers. But elsewhere in the Bible, it does say, pray for your leaders. Pray for those who are in power. Doesn't mean to say we necessarily agree with them, but we're called to pray for them. Pray for God's wisdom to crash in. So that's the that's our key verse. But just recapping, and Jen did a beautiful recap just now. And actually, Jen, when you were reading those things, I was thinking, honour. I mean, you mentioned the word honour in family. So many of these cultures, which we're going to probably be unpacking over the next few weeks, they just bed together. Because our main four core values is that God is good. Everything was accomplished at the cross. The blood has paid for everything. And all things are possible with God. And the fourth one is you are valued and significant. So underneath those four core values, this is what we learned through our, I suppose, following the tribe of Bethel Church out in Reading, is that there are 12 sort of subcultures within that, one of them being family, which Jen spoke about last week. But the one I'm going to talk about is honour. And when we first went to Bethel over 20 years ago, that's 2004, which just seems crazy when you think about it, 20 years ago. I think when we go around the country to various conferences, which have got a Bethel theme to it, they often say, well, you know, who's been to Bethel? You know, Jen and I, we put our hands up. You know, who went to Bethel 5 years ago, 10 years ago? And I think we were early adopters to the Bethel sort of tribe, as it were. And that's purely because our leaders at the time said, there's something happening in Bethel Church, California. We're going to go. Would you like to come? I love flying. So it was just, wow, this is going to be a trip of a lifetime. And it was. And I think for Jen and I think the thing that we picked up is this culture of honour. And not only did we learn about honour, I think we caught it. Some things are caught. Some things are taught, but some things are caught. And I think for that culture of honour to be unpacked, and we saw it in action in that church for the week that we were there, December 20, 2004, this was probably the overriding thing. And it wasn't just respecting people, honouring people, but it's how they actually confronted as well in love. And it was just a beautiful thing to see. So that really started to define, for me anyway, what that honour looked like. It's not all just, we're just going to respect and bow a knee and just, you know, say, I respect you, perhaps because you've got more knowledge or you're older or whatever. It goes way deeper, honour, than just respecting somebody. We are to respect people. But the honour goes way deeper than that. The honour is really looking at the divine creation that everybody is. We're all created in God's image. Genesis 1:27 says this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So this divine image, if you like, of creation is the basis. That is the basis of our value and worth. Not just knowing that ourselves, but knowing that in other people. Or pulling out the gold, as we've used that phrase many, many times. Seeing the God image in somebody else. Now that can be hard when the external, not necessarily just Christians, but you know, the world around us, when the external can be so harsh and can be so hard, that could be the thing that speaks to us. The world is speaking to us about how we should respond because of their action towards us. But what I'm saying is the true kingdom culture of honor is seeing God in them. That's our goal, to honor somebody, is to find that gold and pull that out. Now, we can do that in many, many ways. Two key ways is prophecy. Being aware, as Sue was talking about, being aware of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me about that person? Because on the face of it, I find that really offensive. But we've got to get beyond that. Now, if they're being abusive and all that, we've got to sort of protect ourselves. But our initial heart reaction is to find what is the God creation. You were created in God's image. We need to get that down for a start. We are created, or these other people are created in God's image, so am I. What is the gold in that person? And going after that is very, very key. So it's more than just respect, it's seeing the God image in others and calling that out. And who modeled this so well? Jesus. Everything comes back to Jesus. And as Bill Johnson said many times, and I love this phrase, Jesus is perfect theology. Anything that you can't see in the life, the words of Jesus, then you have, you should question that really. So the value of every individual. Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. God's original intention and creation is to sort of shape us to see how we see others. And as Jen mentioned, you know, with that culture has to be developed within us. And I can't remember exactly what you said, Jen, but you looked at me and I said to Mike, I think you're talking to me. I think it was the 1 Corinthians 13. Looking through the lens of 1 Corinthians 13, yeah. And we might look at that a bit later, depends on time. But I mean, for me, and I think I spoke about this probably a year ago, about love, how that 1 Corinthians 13, putting those lenses on, 1 Corinthians 13, it's tough. But that's what we're called to do. Is it possible to value others according to the value that Christ gave us?
That's a big question.
It's a big question. Can we see ourselves as Christ values us? He gave it all. His Father gave it all. Jesus gave it all. And that's why the fourth core value is you are valued and significant. You're not a nobody. Nobody's a nobody. Everybody has a God-created image within us. And we're working it out, aren't we? We've been saved, we're being saved, and eventually we will be saved. We will be taken into glory. But we are being saved. We are working out our salvation in fear and trembling. So, honouring others. Romans 12:10 says this: be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. This requires a servant heart. A humble heart. Again, go back to Jesus. What did it look like? How did he deal with people? Jen last week gave a beautiful example about Jesus with the 12 disciples around him who kept messing up, stuffing up, but he didn't stumble over what they weren't. He could see the gold in them. And he picked out these young guys, you know, fishermen. Who were they? In the scheme of things in that era, they were just fishermen. They were just working class. But he saw something in them that he could pull out the gold in each one of them. So it requires humility and a servant's heart. But within that, we're not called, yeah, we're called to do that, but we're not to devalue ourselves. I sometimes have a propensity, I'm not so bad at it now, but I used to really beat myself up a lot. Normally through playing sport. God has given me a real gift of some athletic ability. I played football to a very high standard. I was scouted by Arsenal Football Club when I was 13. I spent a year at Arsenal Football Club, training, playing, and after a year they said, you're not quite good enough. But I was Crystal Palace wanted to sign me up. So did Southampton and Aston Villa as well. But I played a lot of tennis. I know I had to get the Aston Villa one in there. Well, I have to say, Mike, that was the worst experience ever. And I was 17 and nearly 18, so I was getting on. Because these days, kids are spotted, scouted by football clubs when they're seven. Very, very early on. But I was 18, and it was actually my PE teacher, who was an Aston Villa supporter, lifelong supporter. And he said, I'm going to get you. And another guy, who was 2 years younger than me, he was just coming up 16, Tony Padfield, a trial with Aston Villa. We went up there one Easter holiday, and it was, I cannot tell you, the few days they were there, it was just a dank, cold, it may have been half term actually, but it was dank, cold, misty, and horrible. And for me, I remember I just couldn't be bothered because it was so flipping cold. So cold. And at the end of it, they said to me, yep, you're skillful, but we've got kids who are like 5 years younger than you that are probably better than you. I mean, they were quite brutal. And that was it. That was my end of my sort of desires to become a professional footballer. But why am I saying it? Oh, yes, devaluing yourself. So, and I think through all my sporting career, I have been prone to throw the odd tennis racket, throw the odd football boot when I've lost. You wouldn't believe it from this mild-mannered person standing in front of you, but Jen will say it's true. But it wasn't necessarily because I lost a game of tennis or a game of football, but it's how I performed myself. I got very, very inward-looking about my own performance. And if I didn't perform well, I beat myself up big time. So I didn't really value myself. But we should value ourselves very highly because that's who we're created to be. We have the value because his divine value is in us. That's where we need to get our value from. And there's this great phrase about humility and valuing ourselves. Don't think less of ourselves, but think of ourselves less.
That's good.
So don't think of yourselves less. Sorry, but think of ourselves less. Let me read it properly. Don't think of ourselves. Let me start. Don't think less of yourself, but think of yourself less.
That's
good. Yeah. So honour and love go hand in hand. And without love, honour is absolutely fruitless.
Yes, it's religious.
Love is the basis of honour. If we don't have that down, or if we don't see honouring somebody through the lenses of love, That's not great. I'm going to read because I love it. Love is large and incredibly patient. I'm going to pause after each one of these just to let it sink in. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistent, kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honour. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offence. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place to shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. Jen mentioned forgiveness. And as well as love, the culture of honour must include forgiveness as well. We've been forgiven much. It's our calling, not just a duty, it's a calling to forgive others. Again, that's not easy. But we have the Holy Spirit. He's the one that can be our encouragement, our truth in all those difficult situations. And to hold no offences against other people. Ephesians 4:32 says this: be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. I propose that the culture of honour cannot exist without love being at the core and forgiveness running alongside that. But we're also, as I said about when we went to Bethel, how we just saw that sort of honour and love in action. And I think one of our first meetings was a confrontation, but how that was handled was just like, wow, that's amazing. The situation wasn't necessarily swept under the carpet, it was confronted, but confronted in love. Honour looks to see the God image in each other, looking for the gold, not stumbling on what they're not or the differences, and we're not looking at behaviour or self-definition. We are to honour in all circumstances. The world can really define us, can't it? We can quite easily take on the world's definition of who we're supposed to be, who we should be. But the core of it is, it's what heaven says about us. And you know that phrase and that scripture, honour a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. I think, and I would propose, that honour is exactly the same sort of thing. We truly honour somebody, not just respect them, but we truly honour them, we will receive honour back. Proverbs 18:21 says this: your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. We probably all know that. And also Ephesians 4:29. Says this: never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. Honour is given many ways by what we say and what we do. How are you feeling? If you're feeling condemned, that is from the enemy. If you're feeling convicted, that's from the Holy Spirit. Because he wants to draw you. He wants to draw the God image out of you. That is always the case. If you feel condemned, that's the enemy. You just need to say, get lost.
We feel honoured.
You feel honoured. So for me, that's what the culture of honour looks like. Now, actually, that's just part of a great passage. I'm just going to finish by actually reading most of what it says in 1 Peter 2 from verse 11. My divinely loved friends, since you are resident aliens and foreigners in this world, I appeal to you to divorce yourselves from the evil desires that wage war within you. Live honourable lives. Another way of looking at that word honourable is beautiful. Prized. Think of yourself as a prized person in God. That's your basis. Live honourable lives as you mix with unbelievers, even though they accuse you of being evildoers. I mean, that's obviously if they're coming against you with what they think, believe, whatever it might be. For they will see your beautiful works and have reason to glorify God in the day he visits us. Beautiful works. It's just not what we do, it's what we say. Are they beautiful? In order to honour the Lord, who wants to do that? We all do. You must respect and defer to the authority of every human institution. Think on that one. Whether it be the highest ruler or the governors he puts in place to punish lawbreakers and to praise those who do what's right. For it is God's will for you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right. Just think what we do is right is coming against the world. That's powerful. That's really powerful. What we do and say is a powerful contention and against the world. As God's loving servants, you should live in complete freedom, but never use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Did you know your freedom comes with a responsibility? A higher call. But we're not on our own. We've got the Holy Spirit here to help us. It is the dove on our shoulder. And the Spirit dwells within us for our sake, but on us for the world around us. So he's in us to lead us through that salvation. Recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. So there we are. That's what honour is from my perspective. So I just want to pray as we come to the end this morning. I thank you, Lord, that each one of us that's given our lives to you, that we are a new creation, never been seen before. And Lord, I pray that you just show us by Holy Spirit of who we truly are. And I know what I said this morning may stir up things. I pray, Holy Spirit, you come and give the truth. Because you are the truth about what true kingdom honour is and what that culture looks like within us and around us. We want to live out of the kingdom culture of true honour. And we want to reflect that to the world around us. And Lord, I pray, I thank you for your 1 Corinthians 13 word of what love is. So help us to honour well. Forgive quickly. And see your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives.